You imagine being imprisoned here in Nicaragua. Is a man called Hassan Fus. 30 years he was sentenced. What did he have to spend his time there for several years? Maybe all of them. What did he have to spend several years there? The other day, a hostage was let loose in Lebanon after 18 months. Friend, we cannot imagine what it would be like mentally and emotionally to be held hostage or to be held captive. Here you are kept in confinement. Here may be a small cell. Here was Jeremiah Ditton in Alabama, who's now a senator, who was in North Vietnam for 8 years. And was kept in a small compartment. And the only thing he said that sustained him was his faith. Here were these hostages in Iran for 444 days. They were liberated. And I remember back years ago when the Second World War was over and I was just a youngster, of the men that came back and literally prostrated themselves on the ground and kissed the soil of the United States of America because we're free. You remember when MacArthur liberated those in the Philippines? They were released from captivity. Brethren, I want us to capture in our own minds what it means to be in sin, in bondage and sin, and what the deliverance of Jesus Christ means through his blood, that we can be liberated, freed from the clutches of sin, that the stains on our heart can be eradicated, that God blots it out and covers our sin, that he doesn't see it anymore. And thank be to God for that tonight. And we should never cease to give thanks to him for what he's done for us. I personally believe that if we can feel, if we can sense the gratitude of what the Lord has done for us, friend, I want to tell you, it'll do wonders in our lives. Now, I can talk and you can teach people duties and responsibilities, but until we get to the place where we feel and sense gratitude for what God has done for us, accomplished for us through the merits of Jesus Christ, we're wasting our breath. I believe that we've got to fall in love with Jesus Christ. I believe that we've got to have a commitment, a dedication, a gratitude, a thankful heart for what he's done for us. And this is the incentive. This is the motivation. This is the impetus that will produce enthusiasm, will produce dedication to the cause of Jesus Christ. We've been liberated. Our debt has been canceled. Hebrews 9, verse 26. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And to put away means canceled our sin. Here the idea is, in the Greek word, the cancellation of a contract or agreement. Now, there are some times we get in financial straits and we can't pay our bills. And today we filed bankruptcy. What if you owed $100,000 and you lost your job and source of income and everything fell in on you and you had no way of paying that $100,000 debt? And they were going to take your house. They were going to take all the possessions that you had. And yet, that wouldn't near pay off all of that. And here, for years, or maybe the rest of your life, you had these payments, all that you could give. But you went to the bank, and the banker said, well, a good Samaritan came. And he said, how much does John Doe owe? He owes $100,000. He said, I want to pay that for him. He writes him out a check for $100,000. He says, I want his contract. He takes his contract and he tears it up. The banker says, you don't owe that anymore because of the goodness of a friend of yours. Now, friend, Jesus paid the price. And we sing that song, Jesus paid it all. I can't pay it. We can read this parable in the 18th chapter of Matthew, where this man just owed a minimal amount. And he went out to a fellow servant, and he said, pay me. He couldn't pay it. His master forgave his enormous debt. And this is comparable to what we owe God. We can't pay God what we owe. But Jesus paid the price. And I believe in the meritorious work of Jesus. I can't merit my salvation, but Jesus merited through his work the forgiveness of sins. That is, he merited God's favor. And through the work of Jesus, we can have forgiveness and salvation because God's justice was satisfied by the perfect sacrifice on Calvary's cross so he could extend mercy unto us. But let's look again. And there's just another word here, and we're getting down to where we started. And that is the word forgiveness. In Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have forgiveness through his blood. And this word forgiveness means undeserved release of a man from something that might justly have been inflicted upon him or exacted from him. God forgave us of our sins. God abundantly pardons. God forgives us of our sins. But the remedy in all of this, ladies and gentlemen, is the blood of Jesus Christ. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And long time ago in the book of Zechariah, he foresaw this fountain filled with blood that could take away the sins of mankind. And there's a beautiful song that we don't sing too much in the church anymore. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. And that should touch the heart of every person that has any feeling whatsoever of the blood that was drawn from the veins of Jesus Christ. In Zechariah 13:1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And that fountain was open. Time will not remove our sin. If we committed transgressions against God and have not been forgiven, though it happened 20, 30 years ago, we still are sinners in the sight of God because time won't eradicate sin. Only forgiveness will. Let me give an illustration. If you went to the grocer as we used to do some years ago and you put everything on credit, and you ran up a $1,000 grocery bill and you wouldn't pay. But then all at once you started paying with cash. That doesn't eradicate that $1,000 because you began to pay in cash. And friend, if we've done something back in the past, it doesn't cover our sin because we start doing right now unless we're forgiven of that. And many times, I've seen people who, over a period of time, had wandered away from God, had quit the Lord, and then they come back to church, and they start as though nothing had ever happened. They need to confess those sins and ask God to forgive them with a contrite heart. I tell you what, brethren, and this may just be my misjudgment, misimpression, or wrong impression. But I believe today, in 1986, that we are experiencing a callousness like we've never seen before in the body of Christ. Sin doesn't mean what it used to do 30 years ago with a lot of us. I can remember back when I preached 20, 30 years ago that a brother would miss a Sunday morning worship. He missed the Lord's Supper, and he couldn't live with himself until he corrected it. But we've got brethren today who'll miss without any justification whatsoever. They show up next Sunday as though nothing ever happened. And it might be that we're just not taking a stand ourselves. I don't know what it is. But time will not cover sin. Repentance, the Bible says, and prayer for a child of God in Acts 8 and 22. And that's the condition of salvation. That's the condition of forgiveness. Good works won't remedy sin. And we can read the Bible, and we can help the poor and visit the widows. We can pray. But that's not going to cover sin. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do good works, but what I'm saying is good works will not substitute for forgiveness. And neither will distance take care of the sin. Sometimes we have the notion that if we just move from here over there, they don't know about it, that everything is taken care of. Not so. God still knows. I'm still a sinner. If I go run from the sin from one location to another, that sin goes with me. And God, the only way it can be eradicated is God forgive me. Now, when the person goes to another location, he should correct it there or come back where he committed it and correct it. And if he can't, then he can notify the brethren that he has corrected it, and the brethren need to notify one another. If some erring brother has corrected his sins in another location and they've been committed where we are, then the sin should be made known that it's been corrected, that he's had repented of those transgressions, and we can rejoice in his salvation. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. Not time, not good works in and of themselves, not distance between our acts, but rather the blood of the Son of God. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In Matthew 26 verse 28, I shed my blood for the remission of sins. In Revelation 1 verse 5, in the King James Version, he loved us and washed us in his blood. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, we're cleansed by his blood. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is the remedy, and that's the answer. But we got to come in contact with it. Brethren, let's talk more about the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's talk more about the love of God. And I want to put this in, my nickel's worth. We need to talk more about it before service and after service. That means me too. I'll tell you what, I believe we can turn on and off worship the quickest of any people on God's earth. We're somewhere 1 second every time before worship. We're somewhere on some big expedition, or we're out yonder somewhere chasing something in the woods, or we're out on the golf course, or we caught the biggest fish that you ever saw, and then bang like that, we turn it off. Gotta worship God. As soon as they say amen, right back to it. Why is that? Why in the world do we just switch it on and off? And I'm not opposed to talking about the golfing or fishing or hunting or our business or whatever. But we just switch it off and on, just like speaking. Just on and off. We worship now. Time to worship. We turn it on. We're total with it. We turn it off. And as soon as I can preach my heart out. And you know what we talk about the door? We talk about maybe the stock market. It went down 30 points. We get back into something happened to the child. He turned over the cooker on the stove, and on and on and on it goes. I'm not being overcritical, I hope, but I'm telling you, this concerns me of how we just switch it on and off. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the sin problem and the love of God and the covering of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, it should be on our lips. But it's not. It's not. It's not good. I see holiness people, I see Baptist people, and they're always talking about grace. They got misapplication of this concept of it, but they're talking about it. I see homeless people, brethren, are always talking about the Lord. Now, I know we got to have time for recreation, and I know we got to have time for entertainment, and I know we got to have time just to socialize, but my point I'm trying to make is that we need to talk more about the spiritual and a whole lot less about this world. Now, I can go to homes, and you can too. We don't talk about the Bible. Don't talk about the Bible. We talk about everything in the world except the Word of God. And you know what's wrong with some of us? We don't know enough about the Bible to talk about it. We don't know enough about it. That's some of us. That's not true with all of us. I go to other places, and brethren just love to talk about the Bible and talk about the Scripture and talk about the Lord. And I'm telling you, brethren, we in the Church of Christ have got to start talking more about spiritual matters and our pilgrimage here, or we're going down the tubes by just old ritualism and formalism. Off and on, like a speaker, like a record. We turn it on and we turn it off. And we go right back to our old worldly discussion and our thinking. That's what our minds are. You say, preacher, what'd you eat today anyway? I'm telling you, like, I believe it is. I believe this is one of our problems. Now we've got to talk more about the grace of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of sin and the blood of Jesus Christ and what the Lord means to me. And the Scripture and the joy it is to be a Christian, that we can go to heaven in the afterlife. If you're in this audience tonight, you're not a Christian. As we sing the song of invitation, we want you to come and give God your heart. Jesus died for us, and if that won't attract us, I don't know what will, my friend, if we don't come to the Lamb of God, to the sacrificial Lamb, to the Son of God who arose the third day and is alive forevermore. If that doesn't attract us to come and obey, I don't know what will. Will you come to Christ tonight and He'll save your soul? Will you come to the blood tonight that'll cleanse you from every transgression and every stain and every spot? Will you come while together we stay?